L-E-T-E-N-E-T.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
I am 28 years old and we are sitting in Malibu and it is absolutely beautiful. This sunset, these waves I'm looking at, this house behind me. But I have a lot to say today and we are so brand safe. I have a strong feeling that this is going to be the most censored podcast I've ever done when it comes to swear words because I have so much to say. It's funny. It's 6:58 right now. The sun sets at 8:10 and I'm really trying to go. Thank you. Thank you so much. Honestly, that's such an accurate description metaphorically of exactly what the fuck my life looks like right now. Truly, truly, truly. And before I get into today's podcast, I want to say something to each and every one of you. Well, actually, not all of you, just some of you, okay? I sat down in the last solo episode and I was vulnerable with you. I was accountable to you. I said, I got a lip flip. I flipped my lip to the moon and I don't like how it looks and I made a mistake, okay? And the people, all of you in the comments, my brand safers, you guys were very sweet to me. It's kind of almost like a sisterly energy where you were like, hey, diva, you've done too much. Like, we like the natural look better. And I'm in full agreement with you, right? Like that's what I was saying in the podcast too. I didn't want to flip my lip to the moon. I made a mistake and we all kind of had this camaraderie. And then the Clippers took it to TikTok. Can all of you Clippers out there clip this? It's already going down. It will be going down. It's only going to look better and better. I promise you, I won't do it again. I learned and it is about loving yourself. And I relapsed on like shooting my lip up to the moon. What is going on out here? Should we be scared? And obviously whatever they're doing is more important than like me podcasting. Like, of course, like probably saving a life. Speaking of saving a life, we have to talk about Grey's at some point. I officially quit the show. I'm sure some of you know why. None of that is the point of today's episode, okay? So today is June 26th, which means 48 hours ago, I turned 28 years old. And it was one of the strangest birthdays of my life because of so many things. Honestly, the main thing being my wisdom tooth recovery, which is what this entire episode is going to be about today. It was one of those things where I wanted to like almost move my birthday just with the way I'm feeling. And I'm going to get into all of that. I'm so angry, aghast, beside myself, in dismay, like utter shock at what these past 9 days have looked like. I'm on day 9 of wisdom tooth recovery. I'm still just a shell of who I once was, the Tana that used to see in color. So I think that kind of did put the pain, really did put a big gray cloud over this birthday. And I decided the night before my birthday that I had just been crying for days and days and days, and I should still try to celebrate it. And so I hit up my friend Tal Maiman at the Maiman Group, and I asked for a house in Malibu, and he was nice enough to help me out with getting one. I invited all of my friends, and it's so interesting too as the years go by seeing how much things have dwindled. Like Paige and I kept making jokes. We were like, Lila to the front, Ari, like so many people, just the group has gotten a lot smaller. Things are just so different. And I originally didn't even want to do a group trip on my birthday because I almost feel like I've outgrown them in a lot of ways. Brooke was here and we were just dying laughing at like that whole Turks trip and all the things that went down on that trip. And just, we really used to like travel to the most beautiful destinations and get in the biggest houses and literally have a week-long episode of Bad Girls Club. Like it was so insane and so fun. And I just do feel like I've outgrown that. And I originally wanted to just go on a really special trip. Me, Makoa, Isabella, and Sylvan. Obviously, Makoa and Sylvan are best friends. Isabella and I are best friends. And Isabella has been there the longest. And I wanted to do something really calm. And it just ended up being to where I couldn't fly. So I was like, I still want to do something. And I can't thank my friends enough for being who they are. Every single one of my friends, the one thing that they all have in common is they walk into every room and they spark joy. They are the funniest people I've ever met, and I love them so much. We all have this very collective way of making whoever's birthday it is, or even if someone's going through something, just rallying and showing up for them. And that's exactly what they did for me. And it was so beautiful to witness all of them just in their prime, in their glory, being as funny as possible. I'm pretty sure a submarine is coming up out of the water right now. Like, I don't know what's going on. Mind you, this hasn't happened at all this trip, at all, not once. And yeah, everyone was so amazing. And I'm so grateful to be alive. I think, not even I think, genuinely, I spent at least 5 years of my life heavily living under the belief, all jokes aside, fully believing with everything in my core that I would be a part of the 27 Club. So I think turning 28 is a huge milestone for me and all of those versions of me, because truly I spent a large fraction, I'm not sure what the exact fraction is, of my life thinking that I would not make it to this specific age. And I'm so, so beyond grateful for that. However, I do think that 27 for me was a year of clear shedding. I was clearly shedding who I once was and becoming who I want to be in the most beautiful way. So grateful for everything that happened across my early 20s. I was very well aware that I was no longer that girl, and it was very uncomfortable in a lot of ways. And I was using the hermit crab analogy a lot of just, you know, feeling naked and looking for my new shell and trying to figure those things out, right? But then 28 comes. And it's still not all figured out. And I'm still discovering who I am. And I don't think I've had a birthday yet where I don't fully know what I want to happen on that birthday, or, you know, what I want to be doing or how I want to be spending it. And then obviously this recovery kind of steered me away from doing what I felt like I wanted to do. And I've really only had 2 birthdays in my life where I felt emotional pain on my birthday. It was my 21st and my 28th, and they were very, very different reasons, I guess. And this wisdom tooth, again, was this big dark gray cloud over it, which I'm going to get into. I'd be lying if I said, like, maybe if I never had to go through this wisdom tooth surgery and feel like this on my birthday, I might have just felt perfectly fine. I think when you're in so much pain and you're just laying in bed and you're on all these drugs and in so much pain, it leaves you to reflect a lot. And just what I want, I think 28 is a very interesting year where it's the last year before you're at the year where it's the last year of your 20s. And you really, like, I woke up just immediately thinking about, like, what I want and who I want to be at 30, and just certain ways that I'm not there yet and certain things that haven't progressed. And it was a very, very, very introspective, and I was kind of sad. I'd spent the whole week crying, and like, I did cry on this birthday. And it's not to say that there weren't so many good and beautiful things happening as well. It just, sometimes transformation has those caveats where everything isn't always perfectly positive. And the tooth was just the goddamn mother cherry on mother top. And I'm gonna do one of those videos where, is it a semi truck now? I think it's a cement truck. I'm gonna do one of those videos where I talk about the 28 things that I learned at 28. Last year, right around this time, I filmed 27 things I learned at 27. And that was actually the very first time that I ever thought to myself, wow, maybe I would want to do a solo podcast. And the response to that video, you guys made me feel like you do enjoy. Obviously, you always have, and you guys are the best. But that 27 things video really did change my life, because it gave me the confidence and the reassurance that I could sit wherever, whenever, and talk at length about whatever was on my mind. And so I plan on doing the 28 things video as well, and talking about the 28 things I've learned at 28 years old in the last year. And they're very, very, very different from 27. And I think when I film that, I will get more in depth into how I was feeling on my birthday and just where I'm at. I can't decide yet if I want that to be a podcast or a YouTube video. Let me know in the comments below. It started as a YouTube thing, and I might want to keep it as one. And before I start, I just want to respond to some of the comments in the last solo episode as well. I feel like I was going really hard on myself for repeating, do you know what I mean? Ending my sentences with and saying like, and all these things. And a lot of the comments were like, Tana, that's who you are. And while you are transforming and becoming this new person, you still are eloquently spoken. That's just the way you speak. And be careful of essentially trying to strip away your entire cadence that makes you who you are because you want to conform to this perfection. I do have a slight rebuttal to that, where I feel like I am in this transformative period where a new desire and goal of mine is to become as smart as I possibly can. I think for so long, I was so content being a dropout with the knowledge I had, and I was getting a little more knowledge now and again on the streets, right? Like that was it. And as I'm getting older, I have found this deep-rooted desire to just not become stagnant in the amount of knowledge I have, in my speaking cadence, in my learning of new words, in my whatever. But I also understand that it's a scary tightrope between wanting to be better and being highly critical of yourself. And I appreciate you guys in the comments for kind of waking me up on that. And it is interesting, the brand safe era, and just this will probably be one of my 28 things, but I have become more critical of myself than I ever was. I used to shit and fart out my content and not think twice about it. I don't know, just not think twice about anything. I didn't have any anxiety. And maybe there was something great that I can take from that girl, and I never want to swing that too far. You know, while I want to get smarter and stuff like that, I'm also me, and that's okay. And that is the message I should be spreading. And those type of things aren't linear, you know? And maybe in that last episode, there were a few things where I was kind of showing that I get caught slipping, you know, whether that's the lip flip or overcritical nature of the way that I speak and who I am. That is a perfect example of kind of getting caught slipping. And that is kind of a big lesson that I had learned in the past year. So I want to appreciate you guys for just reassuring me that even if I say, do you know what I mean, every 37 seconds, you will still love me and I still love you. Now, with that being said, we are getting on a roller coaster. Okay, you better have your mouse ears on, bitch. We are at Disneyland. We are getting onto Magic Mountain starting now. As you guys know, it has been a fierce month of my life. And I swear to God, the other night I was laying in bed, turned to Makoa, and I was like, I can't wait to go to a concert or a live event. Like, I just want to feel dopamine. All we have is human connection. I want to like use my mouth to sing along to songs. I want to be in public thriving at a concert. And some of my favorite memories do come from concerts. There's just something about hearing your favorite artist live with thousands of other people singing every single word that just will never ever get old to me, especially in my sober era. It really is such a way to connect and feel something in a healthy way. So lately I've been looking for tickets at a few different shows, and anytime I'm buying tickets, I will always check SeatGeek first. So huge shout out to the sponsor of today's episode, SeatGeek. With over 35 million downloads, it's the number one rated ticketing app, and there are more than 70,000 events on there, from concerts and festivals to sports and comedy shows. I was literally scrolling through it the other day looking at upcoming tours, and there are so many artists I want to see. One thing I love is that every ticket is rated on a scale of 1 to 10, so you instantly know if you're getting a good deal. The green dots are the good deals. The red dots, maybe keep scrolling. It makes finding tickets so much easier without having to guess whether you're overpaying. And every ticket is backed by their buyer guarantee, which gives me extra peace of mind. Okay, a type B girl needs that. Concert season is officially here. So to make it even better, you can use code BRANDSAFE10 for 10% off your SeatGeek tickets. That's 10% off tickets with promo code BRANDSAFE10. Make sure you click the link in the description to download the app so the code is automatically added to your account so you can use it later. Happy dopamine maxing! Thank you, SeatGeek, for sponsoring today's episode. The only preface I want to put before the absolute, complete, and utter tangent of a story time I'm about to go on, the only preface I want to put is sometimes in life, you just need to bitch and moan with your girls, okay? There is a catastrophic difference between being overall a negative person, and sometimes you just need to let one rip. You don't have to be negative all the time. I don't think you should be ever stuck in a cycle of complaining, but sometimes you got to sit with your girls and just let them rip, you know? And I have my friends for that. I have my Pages and my Trevies and my Isabellas where we will just sit and bitch and moan. I think it's a cathartic part of girlhood, and sometimes it is necessary. And there are so many greater problems in the world. I can't even say the word problem still. It's day 9. There's so many greater things in the world. I understand that deeply, but I'm going to walk you through my last 9 days, and I am going to bitch and moan and whelp and scream and yell about them because I can. That's what I want to do. And you guys are my girls and my gays and my days, and I want you to be here with me along this ride, because truly I have never, ever, ever experienced anything like these last 9 days of my life at all. And I will start this off by saying, when it comes to my teeth, okay, a lot of things have gone wrong.
Yeah.
And that started at birth. right? By the time I had received my first AdSense check, I had only ever seen a dentist one time. And that was a big thing that my parents were trying to lie about in court. They were saying we took her to the dentist and they never did. So they were saying that I was slandering them by saying that they never took me to the dentist when they did. And it's just not true. And then they would have arguments like, well, you didn't want to go. And it's like, yeah, every child in the world doesn't want to go, okay? It's your job. So by the time I was even 17, I remember I was 17 years old and I was on the phone with Jordan and we were talking about some brand deal I was doing and I just started doing all this stuff and I was on the phone with him and I'm looking in the mirror and my tooth fell out. And this was before the veneers. Maybe it was just something that I was always cursed with. And it was this upper left tooth. It was a cavity that had gone too long. It had abscessed. It had just rotted completely. And the tooth completely fell out. I was 17 years old. I was set up to fail, obviously, because of the way that I was raised. Then I went and got veneers. And maybe getting veneers on top of those teeth, I can also like now recognize that that probably wasn't the smartest thing to do. Maybe they needed to have their enameled, you know? They've always been, you know, I've always had a lot of problems with my teeth. And I think that every time I've ever gone to the dentist for something ever, it can be the most routine procedure and something is going to go wrong. Or the thing that I get done is going to trigger something else to go wrong. It's just been my experience through and through. Like, I swear it's like I'll go in to treat a cavity and leave bow-legged. Like, it doesn't make sense to me. It's like this domino effect. And it has created this A, fear, but B, like almost avoidant, anxious, avoidant negligence. Like relationship. I have a negligent relationship when it comes to problems with my teeth because every time I go and fix them, it doesn't actually fix them. It just creates more problems. And obviously, as a child, that was what I had to do was just live with them. So sometimes I can feel myself falling back into those patterns and anxieties and all of those things, you know? My wisdom tooth, this one, had been coming in for over a year now. Honestly, ironically, last year on my birthday, we were all in Hawaii in that beautiful house hanging out, and my wisdom tooth was coming in. I was doing saltwater rinses every day and like sleeping with gauze in my mouth so I didn't bite down on the gum and like all these different things. And it would just kind of flare up and go away. And I would be lying to you if I said that I was not fine with living like that until I croaked with like it just flaring up, going away, and like eventually hopefully coming in. And my thought process towards the wisdom tooth coming in as well, I think, was like, I don't even have that many teeth. Like, Buster, you want to show them?
You want to show them?
Buster has far more teeth than I will ever have. So when my wisdom teeth started coming in, I was like, we can use another one, you know, come on in, like, welcome to the family. I can't say the letter F. What did you see? Play that back. Welcome to the family. I'm going to keep these other teeth. I don't need to get rid of them. Like, God forbid I have a little extra chew to work with. You know, maybe I can bite some ciabatta bread back there if I just keep this one. And then I woke up on the day of mine and Trisha's Las Vegas show. And we had spent the last 12 days working our absolute asses off to just prepare for this show and make sure it was perfect. And I wake up at 7 a.m. the day of our show, which I also hate waking up early on a show day because I need to conserve my energy. I like to sleep in. So what I give on stage is my best, non-anxious, sharpest, wittiest, full of energy self. So I was so livid to be awake and I just knew how that would go for the show. And I'm in excruciating pain. And my wisdom tooth was doing the gum thing a couple days prior, but it was just kind of normal and I'm used to navigating life like that. The difference in this pain is that this pain was not in my gum, it was in my tooth and jaw. And my jaw started to swell. And that's when a wisdom tooth can kind of become deadly, genuinely deadly. Like just the infection can spread and, you know, go down to your neck and down through your ear and I couldn't really talk and I was just in a lot of pain. I always say that it is so the mantra of my life that I was talking about this with Alexis and Sarai, who do my makeup and my hair on the day of the show, because they've seen me through it all. Alexis and I were laughing about a time where during MTV, I was doing my press run and I was going on the news every day and like doing all these like random huge press outlets. But at the same time, I had periorbital cellulitis. We're going to put the photo in. My eye was the size of a golf ball. We still have no idea why to this day. And it would just flare up like that all the time. And I always use the analogy of like, I have the best worst luck. Like I will have a Vegas marquee headlining sold out show with Trisha Paytas that night that I'm so excited to do. My whole team is there. We worked so hard for it. We manifested it. But your wisdom tooth is absolutely going to impact itself, infect itself, and put you at such a setback for this show tonight. And that's just the way my life will always kind of go. I know that it sucks for my cortisol levels. Like, just things do go wrong. And you know, that's what created Storytime Tana. And that's why I'm here today with a lot to talk about on this podcast. It's actually funny. I literally have been laying in bed for nights and nights and nights on these painkillers, so miserable. Like, it's given me so many thoughts. I haven't been so passionate about doing a podcast until this one. Like, I have so much to say. I get through the show, but obviously there was a moment where I was just like, okay, this tooth is officially really, really affecting my job and my life. I was in fight or flight the entire time on stage just because of the pain, my inability to talk, my mood. Like, I wasn't able to be my like funniest, best self. And thank God Trisha Paytas is sitting there next to me to like carry me, and we're doing our thing together, and we got through with it. But it hindered a lot of my hard work, and it set me back when I had put my all into this. And that's the moment where you have to kind of buck up and realize that this is now not just a flappy gum. It's not giving Flappy Bird. It's giving like you're gonna die and this is really bad. I go home from Vegas. I immediately go to the dentist and I get an x-ray, and they are like, yeah, your tooth is super, super infected. It was like completely black in my gums underneath my tooth. And I was like, damn. They basically look at me and they're like, if we could take this out today, we would. Like, you have to come back tomorrow or the next day. You need to get this tooth out ASAP. Do not put it off. And I'm genuinely in the dentist office sobbing, sobbing. And I will say that a lot of my sobbing comes from a fear that I've always had of wisdom tooth removal. Like, I don't... Even when I see videos of other people, even back in the day, like the Dolan twins wisdom tooth video, like Lorraine did a really funny one. Like, I can't watch those. I don't find it funny. I think that it's like, obviously those are content creators who wanted to be recorded. But then I look at other like just strangers on the internet, those videos. I'm like, did they consent to being recorded? My dentist was telling me stories about like other people who had gone to him and like revealed their deepest, darkest secrets or like said the craziest shit. I'm like, what? Like, why are we, you know, saying that? But also, I mean, he wasn't like naming them, and so it's fine. It's just a fear of mine. And I think that I've worked so hard to be sober and to never be out of my own that the fear has amplified so much in sobriety, I think. Amari's always so funny about it. He's like, Tana, I have no idea why you're afraid of this. You were literally snorting the floor and like telling people Donatella Versace was your mother. Like, you've already been out of your own so much. Like, what's one more time, you know? But my OCD really was just getting the worst of me. I think that I have so much medical anxiety now, which is so strange to me, that I spent so much of my life not caring at all. Like, literally just living so freely about all of these things. I'd have ringworm and just be like doing whatever the fuck I wanted with like 90 ringworm all over me, and like going to one-star hospitals to treat it and giggling and vlogging. And now I like take an ibuprofen and my brain's like, no, you just took a Percocet, even though it was that Advil that you take every single day. And like, it's gonna kill you. And then I'm googling like effects of ibuprofen on your liver over the next 20 years, even though like, oh, your liver's already fucked, babe. It's such a warp. And for some reason my OCD had just like really hyper fixated on, I'm gonna come out of this wisdom tooth surgery and I'm gonna be irreversibly horrible, and I don't want to do that because I've worked so hard to not be that. And like, I'm just scared of this healing process, and like, I'm gonna be the one person who like dies, and it's gonna be so awful. And like, I don't know, just that's what was going through my head. And I was just sobbing and sobbing and sobbing. And so I go in for the surgery, and it's the day of, and I decide to have Paige take me, because I think that Paige has had the most experience with Tina, okay? With who I once was. She is the most unfazed by astronomical things coming out of my mouth. I also forgot to say that my OCD won the battle, and they basically said the best way you can do this is by going under anesthesia or doing twilight sedation where you're half in, half out. But I just heard a horror story from one of my like celebrity friends. She called me and she told me that the dentist woke her up off of anesthesia to like take selfies with her, and he broke HIPAA and he showed her like photos of Kylie Jenner's before and afters and all this crazy stuff. And like, I always see the TikToks and the videos of things that happen to girls under anesthesia. My OCD won the battle. And so I decided, even though this is maximum suffrage, I cannot overcome the hurdle that is my brain, and I'm going to do this awake. It's just so frustrating to me, I think, almost at myself and at my OCD. and at my anxiety. Like, you're choosing to do this the hardest possible way because you can't, the demon is winning. Like, my OCD has just beat my ass for the last 9 days, beat my ass to the ground. It's been literally a miserable existence. And again, I will get into that. So I decide I'm going to do it awake. I decide to bring Paige because she has the most experience with Tina. I also bring my bodyguard, my head of my security. He's like my father, really, Ray. And mind you, I'm not bringing my bodyguard really to protect me from anyone other than myself. And I originally tell Makoa, I don't even want him to come. I think it's also like when you were a substance abuser, and I tried it all, right? I know who I am on every single substance through and through. When you are now sober and you know who you were on those substances, there's this fear of like, is she going to come out again? Is that person going to come to the forefront again? And like, I just didn't even want Makoa there because I was like, I don't want Tina to come to the forefront again. And you see that. And like, that sucks that like my partner couldn't even be there to pick me up because not only is my OCD winning, but like Tina's always going to be dormant in there and we're going to get there. So I get to the dentist's office. And I'm with Paige, I'm with Ray, and I'm sitting there. And they basically tell me that they're going to give me this drug called Halcyon.
When it comes to my wardrobe and getting dressed, I feel like I've learned so many lessons over the years. And one of them being that you don't always need more clothes, you just need the right clothes. Also, I'm just a girl, and sometimes we all have those moments where you look in your closet and you look at everything, and you have an event coming up, or you have a trip you're going on, or something that you're doing this Saturday, and you're looking at all of your clothes, and you're like, nothing is right for the moment. I'm crashing out. But instead of overthinking it, I swear the seas parted, the heavens parted the day I discovered Revolve. Honestly, we were on tour when I discovered Revolve, and they were the only place that would have two-day shipping and amazing easy returns and the ability to find an outfit for any weather, any city, any vacation, anything that you need to do. And I just felt like I had discovered heaven. I also feel like the ADHD baddie in me is so fulfilled when I'm shopping Revolve because they have so many curated sections. You know, you can look in the night out section, you can look at the vacation section, you can look at the business casual section. Ooh. And it's just so easy. Even recently, Trisha texted me and was like, let's wear pink sequins in Vegas. So I just opened Revolve. I went to the night out section. I made it to pink sequin, and suddenly I'm only looking at exactly what I need, not just like endlessly scrolling and not finding anything. I'm also the type of girl who wants to try things on in the comfort of my own home. I want to try things on in this very room, and Revolve has the easiest shipping and the easiest return, so I can order two of something in different sizes and return it so easily. It's just like, especially during the summer when it feels like something is always on the calendar, whether it's someone's birthday or a party or a trip or a holiday. I'm about to show you my 4th of July fit. Revolve has everything figured out, whether you're going for a girl's night out, whether you're going to a wedding, whether it's your own birthday, like whatever it is that you need to be shopping for, Revolve is going to have something for you. And talk about last minute. I literally placed a Revolve order 36 hours ago and it's here. I leave to San Diego for the 4th of July in like 2 minutes. And I got this little sweat. Like, I literally didn't even know I was going to San Diego until like 3 days ago. And like, Revolve had my back. I got a little micro short. Look at these. So micro, so tiny. Ooh, ooh. And like, honestly, if I put them on and my cheeks are hanging out, I can return them. Like, Revolve is the best. Little studded flip-flop. They have Steve Madden. They have Jeffrey Campbell. They have all the girlies and all the cute, trendy shoes. And they have lots of Bigfoot mama sizes. I got Makoa some Skims cargo shorts because they do have men's. Ooh. Little baseball cap for the girls. They also have Forward. So I got 2 bags. Little zebra mama for when I'm feeling like hitting the town. And a little summertime crochet mama. How cute is this gonna be? July 4th. So American.
Yeah.
It's giving hot dog real bad. So if you ever need something good last minute that actually will work for you, go to Revolve. It is such an honor to be working with them because I've loved them what feels like my whole life. So make sure you go to revolve.com/brandsafe to shop my faves and to get 15% off your first order. Fast shipping, easy return. It just makes everything easier. That's revolve.com/brandsafe for 15% off your first order and to shop my fave. The offer ends July 27th, so do not miss out. It is active for 2 weeks only, okay? A Revolve code. I don't know if you heard me. Revolve code. Run, don't walk. I hate run, don't walk. Like, I just hate it so much. But run, don't walk over to Revolve and make sure to use code brandsafe. Now back to the episode. Thank you, Revolve.
I would compare Halcyon to a roofie, okay? Like, you kind of take the pill. It's in a benzodiazepine family, but it's in the, like, it's like the big Bowser. It's like the final boss of a benzodiazepine. It's in, like, the part, like trazodone and triazepam, and like the sleepy ones, the like knock you out for days ones, the like stronger than Ambien ones. And like, I've taken a trazodone. The last time I took a trazodone, which is really similar to what they were trying to give me, the Halcyon, I slept for 4.5 days and I woke up and I like broke up with my boyfriend at the time. Granted, I needed to break up with him, but still, I didn't like who I was on that trazodone. I don't like myself on these drugs, but I had agreed that like, you're not going to put me out. Like, you're just going to give me this pill and I'm going to do it, right? And so I get there with the plan to take the pill from the dentist. And as I'm in the dentist's office, my OCD is just firing once again. And so I ask the front desk girls, I'm like, hey, what is the number one? You see people on Halcyon all the time. You guys are like at the front desk. You see everyone come out on the Halcyon. And they look at me and they tell me that the number one side effect of Halcyon is extreme rage. No, 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 no. No. Tana Marie Mojo can't have anything where the number one side effect of the drug is extreme rage. The last time I took a drug where the number one side effect can be extreme rage was Ativan. I was in Australia with Hunter on Ativan and I tried to rip up his passport and I shattered every single one of his camera lenses. I threw his stuff off the balcony into the street in Sydney, Australia. Kyle's just sitting here nodding his head. No, you're very lucky to have me at this time. And I told that story on stage across tour. And Hunter, I love you so much. I'm so genuinely happy that I didn't rip up your passport. And it's like, what did you think you were doing with that, Tana? That I'll tell that story in full on the podcast at some point because it really is crazy. But that was the last time I took a pill that the number one side effect was extreme rage. So why the fuck would I want to take it again? And I'm sitting there and I'm staring at this little blue Halcyon. And I'm just like, the dentists are also kind of rushing me. They're being like, it's time for surgery, like we're all here, like, and that's just like fueling into my anxiety more. I'm just not comfortable. They're trying to get me to take this pill, which obviously is protocol. I understand that, but like, I just found out that the side effect of coming off of it is extreme rage. And like, I'm going home to Makoa and like Ray is here and like, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I know myself, I know if a side effect is extreme rage and I'm fucked up, like we saw the doc in Turks and Caicos, we see it all, like we know how I am. Like, I don't like it. I don't want to be that. And I'm just sobbing because I'm like, I'm in this position where every option is putting me to be this thing that I don't want to be so bad, but I need to get it out. So I decide I'm just gonna do it dead ass, like awake. And they ended up telling me like, you don't want to hear the cracking of the tooth. Like, you're going to be so miserable. Like, at least self-administer yourself some like Xanax. Like, at least do something so that you're not just like sitting there dead ass in the moment, you know? But obviously I take gabapentin and I take light benzodiazepines for anxiety and OCD now and again. So I have a bit of a tolerance to it. So I'm like, I don't really know what this is like gonna do. So I end up taking their advice and taking the Xanax and I end up feeling a little calmer. My OCD thoughts are like firing a little less and I can kind of come to the rational decision that like, this is a health problem and I should take this out. And I end up going over and laying down to the table and I am a little Tina. I'm not gonna lie. I took like a full Xanax bar. You know, I'm telling the nurses, like, it's so funny too, like, you can take the alcohol out of the girl, but Tina will never die. Like, I'm laying there on the table immediately to the girl, I'm going, you're my best friend, I love you so much. I swear to God in the Bible, I'm looking at this bitch about to go in my mouth and I'm like, I love you so much, you're my best friend, you're so cute. And she happened to be a supporter of mine too, and now just like the anxiety of that, I'm like, oh my God, what did I say? The guy who was doing my surgery looked like Zed. So I'm like telling him, I'm like, you look just like Anton. Like, he's such a good friend of mine. I'm like singing to him. I'm like, our love is tragedy. Why are I'm like, fuck. I keep calling him Zed, like whatever. And they give me laughing gas to like really take it over. Cause I think that obviously we know the reason I went sober is when I'm fucked up, I'm Chatty Cathy. I mean, point blank period, I'm always Chatty Cathy. Look at me right now. But the things that come out of my mouth when I'm fucked up as Chatty Cathy are not as coherent in what I truly believe. So I think they kind of just laid me down and they were like, put the nozzle now. And honestly, I've never had a good laughing gas experience until this one. I used to not like it, but I was laying there and I was like, I see what Kanye's talking about. I want to feel like Kanye. Like, I was catching a vibe. The birds were chirping. The dental assistant is obviously my lifelong best friend. Zed is taking my tooth out. Paige and I are like giggling and filming funny videos. It was very short. I was like, oh my God, what was all the hubbub about? Like, this is amazing. You take that tooth. We're fine, girl, you know? Obviously, they had numbed my mouth a bunch. And so I end up leaving. I leave and, you know, I'm hugging my new best friends goodbye. I'm singing the Black Eyed Peas. Paige is driving my car. We go to Chick-fil-A. I get a little ice cream. I'm catching a vibe. And I'm like, what was all the hubbub about? And then I get home. And the Xanax wears off, and the laughing gas wears off, and most importantly, the local anesthetic wears off. And I am now immediately in the most, and I mean the most, this shit made me feel like I could go Kate Gosselin and pop Octomom and pop 8 babies out of my with ease. The most excruciating pain of my entire life. Oh my God, I'm still in excruciating pain. That's the problem. It's been 9 goddamn days on the 9 days of wisdom my true love gave to me. When will I be okay? 9 oxycodone, 8, like I'm literally, I'm in the most excruciating pain of my entire life immediately. And the problem with this excruciating pain is that it starts in my throat. It felt like genuinely, I'm talking Scream Drew Barrymore style, that Ghostface himself took the biggest knife in the kitchen and just stabbed me in the jugular. I know that I'm exaggerative, but I'm looking at you right now. Look at me eye to eye, face to face, heart to heart, you and me right here, Malibu next to you. I'm telling you, I have never been in pain like this so long as I live. My nose job, take a hammer to my nose 9 more times. Shoot my ass up with as much Sculptra as possible. Like literally migraine central, whatever it is, I dislocated a rib for Christ's sakes. That was a cakewalk. I've never felt anything like this. It's in my throat and it's my tooth and I'm in excruciating pain. And so I turn, it's Meg, my executive assistant, Makoa, and Ray. And I turn to them and I'm sobbing. And the OCD, even through just like not even being all there, is still firing. I'm like, am I gonna die? Like, I've never felt this in my life. What is happening to me? I'm asking them, I'm like, give me a painkiller, give me something. I can't take this, I can't live like this. And they all tell me, we don't wanna give you the Norco because you've taken Xanax today. And I start, you know, kind of normal. And I'm like, please, please. And I feel like fucking Faye in Euphoria. It's giving Wayne. My lips are huge. And I'm screaming at the top of my lungs. And I'm like, you have to give me this Norco. You're like, there is no other route. I don't care what I have to do. I will sell my hole on the side of the 405. I need this painkiller. I've never felt like this in my entire life. And they won't give it to me. And they're being like, let's call the dentist. Let's see if we can give it to you. I'm sobbing. I'm screaming. And they will not give it to me. And I'm going to tell you guys something. The next few minutes of this story, I'm not proud of. And we will get into that as well. But I'm going to tell you what happened. And I debated saving this for our upcoming Patreon because we are very close to having one because it is awful. And I have not been this person in so long. But I also am under the firm belief, because truly I don't know. I think this whole experience has made me question if I had ever really felt level 10 pain in my entire life. I think the things that I once thought were level 10 physically are now a 5 in comparison to what this was. And I think that pain will make you be, you know, you see women going into labor, you see, and I was getting so many comments like that too, like giving birth to my children was so much easier than my wisdom teeth. And I believe you, I see you, I stand with you, sister, I believe you. I think pain will make you do things that you don't want to do. Makoa's holding the Norcos in his pocket and I'm coming down off of this Xanax and this laughing gas and I'm still a little fucked up and no one will give them to me. And I go full Tana Turks and Caicos doc style. I say, if you're not going to give me this Norco, you are going to see a version of me that you have never, ever, 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 ever met. They will not give it to me. I'm running around the house, by the way, which is so awful after your wisdom tooth surgery, but I'm in so much pain. I'm trying to check all the cabinets for different, like anything to help me with my pain. I'm like, whatever, Makoa's trying to like hold me back. I'm kicking him. I'm like, it's so bad. I'm kicking him. I'm swinging on him. Like I'm full Tana when she's fucked up. And also the pain, like just the pain. It was so bad that I was like, I don't care what I have to do. I dumped a pink Gatorade all over him. I also dumped it all over myself. So like, you look so fucked. stupid. I end up running outside. I look at them and I say, if you're not going to give me this painkiller, I'm going to do something. This is what my mind was telling me at the time. I'm going to do something to make the police come so I can tell them whatever is happening to me, like, so that maybe they can administer me something. Like, that is how much pain I'm in. If you guys are not going to give it to me, I walk out in the street and I start knocking over all of the trash cans on the street. I'm in my underwear. My bodyguard's there. He's trying to stop me. He can't stop me. That is how much fire and rage. I'm like hopping little fences and bushes. Like, I'm not proud of this. I'm not proud. But it's just so insane because I never thought I would do anything like this again ever in my entire life. What do you mean you're knocking over the trash cans in the street an hour after your wisdom tooth surgery? And so much for not taking the Halcyon because you didn't want to feel extreme rage. So much for not going under anesthesia because you didn't want to embarrass yourself. You're in the street in your underwear. I'm like forgetting some details, honestly. And obviously it's all a little hazy to me. It's funny, Meg, my assistant, she is like very, very tall. She's like Kendall Jenner, just very like tiny and tall. And she was blocking one of the doorways with her arm and I like scurried under her and I'm running like, you psychopath. You psychopath. I'm breaking shit. I'm not even joking you. I was in so much pain, and this is like really, really embarrassing to say, but obviously I was fucked up and I was in so much pain, and it is unfortunately the truth. Like, I took a knife out of the drawer and I was like, I will kill myself in front of you people right now. Like, I have never, ever been in that much pain. Like, that is not who I am. I'm very much healed. I do think Tina's dormant, but I was never an angry drunk. I was never angry when I was fucked up on anything. I was just in that much pain and I was gonna do anything. I was like spider monkeying at Makoa, like trying to kick him in the shin. Like, and it's not funny. It's just like, it's insane. Like, I never thought I would be this Tana again, let alone like in 2026. It's just like, that's how much pain I was in. I was in such excruciating pain that I was willing to do anything. I started texting my old plugs. I said, if you people aren't going to give me the Norco, I will get one. That is the headspace that this surgery and the pain from it had put me in. I said a lot of things I really want to go back in time and unsay, but eventually they find out that it's fine to give me the Norco after I've just destroyed my whole house and all my relationships. It's not who I am. It is not at all who I am. And obviously, I woke up. I'd end up taking the Norco. And the pain is kind of starting to subside a little bit. But that's the crazy thing too, is that this pain is so much that there was like no amount of painkiller that was like making it stop, which is also very scary. And I don't want to be just like popping painkillers and popping these things. But I did end up going to sleep. And then I woke up a few hours later and I'm just screaming, sobbing. I'll insert the video.
Why would anybody do this to themselves? I would have just kept my wisdom tooth. This is so stupid.
I also forgot to mention that I completely called 911 on myself. Like, how do you... Like, it's just like a slight blip. Like, eventually they just wouldn't give me the painkiller. So I called 911 to come to my house. And I was like, take me to the hospital then. Take me, give me morphine. I don't care. They had to hop my fence. And there's just nothing like Tana Marie Mojo calling 911 on herself in the big 2-6. I just never, ever thought I would see that version of myself. And you know, the paramedics were like, what the fuck? They were like, just give her the Norco. I wake up. I'm in excruciating pain. I'm sobbing. I don't think I've ever cried this much either. Even over breakups, even over deaths. It was so traumatizing. I truly was Ariana Grande. No tears left to cry. I've never cried so much in my entire life. And then obviously that next day, I'm laying there and Makoa's still sitting there and I like heartbroken. Like, I was like, I hope you know that that's like not me and that's not who I am. And I love you so much. And I'm so sorry that I like was spider monkeying myself at you trying to do Taekwondo and like breaking everything in the house. And that was like my worst fear with this wisdom tooth. And also I think I didn't even know with my fears that like there could be a level of pain that could make you crazy, like just crazy. And I was just so disappointed in myself and so sad. And then I'm sobbing. I was just trying to reassure him in the regard that like it didn't matter who was there. It wasn't a personal attack to him. It could have been anyone and I would have done that. That's how much pain I was in. It's funny, Amari called me the next day and he goes, thank God we have high definition cameras. I feel like I just watched a UFC fight. Like, I've never seen anything like it and I'm so happy I wasn't there. You are so scary. And it's so true. I really don't think it was me being fucked up as much as it was just the amount of pain I was in and the pain medicine being like withheld from me. Obviously, they were just trying to protect me. They were very scared of me mixing these two drugs. But I think that I dated Lil Xan for years. I dated Chris Miles for years. I'm not glamorizing or glorifying anything, but like I've been to the Olympics. The 3/4 of a bar and the half of a Norco was, oh my God, Lil Xan and I used to take 17 Norcos just to go to CVS. Like I do think that there's something to be said about like training your body. I can't believe that I ever like dated like that and that was my life, and I'm very happy where I'm at now, you know. But like y'all are worried about me mixing 3/4 of a bar and a painkiller that I absolutely need more than anything in the world after this surgery right now. You should have seen Tina snort a line of Percocet, Xanax, and fuck God knows what else after, and chase it with Sauvignon Blanc and then do 2CB and then not sleep for 2 days. I prepped for times like these. Like I'll be okay. And that's sad to say. It's not a flex. And if you're at a young stage in your life, like, don't do that. That was also the thing across this that I hated so much. It's so funny. I wish you could go back and tell Xana that there would ever be a time in her life where she wouldn't like the ability to abuse painkillers for a couple weeks. Like, that she wouldn't want to do that. That she would be afraid of the long-term effects of that. That she would miss being cognizant and coherent and intelligent and energetic. I got my first round of veneers like 8 years ago to date. I was opening up my Snapchat and I was finding all these memories of me like so excited to take that same Norco and ibuprofen. So excited to be popping those Norcos, inviting whichever school desk looking boyfriend I had at the time over to abuse them with me. Now I'm at this point where it's like, I didn't even want to take them, but I had to, you know? I also think it's one of those things too, where like you tell a couple dentists that like you're a recovered addict and no one's gonna prescribe you something strong enough for the pain. Like you can throw me a couple Perc 30s, I'll be fine. I never had a problem with those, you know? I'm glad they didn't, but also the pain was so excruciating and nothing was fixing it. And now here's what I want to get into. Obviously, we've covered the bases of my psychotic pain-induced episode, all of my worst fears coming true, and the absolute misery that was about to clearly ensue. And it was so low, too, because it was like I almost wished I could go back in time and tell previous me that like the pain I was feeling the day of mine and Trisha's show was like a day at Disneyland with the goddamn mouse in comparison to what I was about to go through. I almost truly wish I could go back in time and tell that girl, like, maybe take one more day until you get the surgery. Or maybe go get a blowout because you're not going to wash your hair for 8 days. Tell your friends goodbye. Tell your business partners goodbye. You are going to be an absolute shell of who you once were. And that's what brings me to my next point. Everyone is a bold-faced liar. And I, Tana Mojo, am here to say, today's episode is almost a PSA, that your wisdom tooth recovery could be nothing like other people say. Every single person told me like, yeah, it's a really miserable 2 days. Yeah, like you're gonna be in pain. Pain. Pain is subjective, but you're gonna be in pain when you wake up. It's gonna hurt a little bit. It is a harder surgery, but you're gonna be fine. Everyone was just, you're gonna be fine. Propaganda parade. It hurts a little bit, but it's fine. Someone said maybe it was a miserable couple days of my life. No one prepared me for war. I felt so underinformed and almost lied to by dentists and everyone. I think that they just took me in. I took the Xanax and they took it out. And then they gave me not a, like whispers of aftercare. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to eat. I didn't know, I couldn't swallow. I like was using chloraseptic spray like it was water because of how bad the depths of my throat and my esophagus hurt so bad. I couldn't open my mouth and talk, which is normal, but we're going to get into how mine ended up changing into something abnormal that only happens to 10% of people. For the rest of my life, if anyone ever asks me, how was getting your wisdom teeth out? I'm going to look at them like this and grab them by the shoulders and I'm going to shake them. And I'm going to say every trauma I've ever experienced dulled in comparison to what that time of my life was. I can't even say week of my life. I'm still on day 9, and I presume that I'm in a 7 out of 10 of pain right now. I presume it will be a month before I feel like myself again. I will shake them by the shoulders and say it was the most excruciating pain of my entire life, and you're almost lost. Like, they just send you away with a syringe to rinse with in 8 days and a couple painkillers, and they tell you everyone does it and that, like, you're going to be fine, and it's hopeless. It was the worst cocktail for my OCD. I think each and every single day, I had a minimum, and this is no exaggeration, of like 300 Google searches of just like, is this normal? Can I mix this medicine with this medicine with this medicine? Like, my nightstand looked like the Wolf of Wall Street when it came to the pill bottles. I was like, this is awful. And obviously there's all the normal things, you know, where like you just can't talk and you're in so much pain and you're crying. I hate ice cream. Fuck Ben, fuck Jerry, fuck those 31 flavors. I will never have it again so long as I live. Fuck yogurt, fuck applesauce, fuck sorbet, fuck any food without a crunch or a chew. I'm so serious. Like, cream this. But that's a normal thing. I get that. And like, soup maxing. I was Grey's Anatomy maxing. I got to the part where I lost my favorite character and I'm done, but that's a different episode. There's all the normal things, right? But then here's the problem. Everyone started telling me that by day 4 or day 5, I would start to feel better. And so day 4 and day 5 roll around and I am still in the exact same pain I was when I was knocking over trash cans in the street. Norco's really with my sleep schedule too, so I'm just like sleeping so weird and erratically. I'm having the most vivid dreams of my life, and a lot of my dreams also are not even dreams, they're just memories. I had this dream, and it was just a memory of when Makoa and I were in Paris at the Shangri-La, and I was still drinking, and I was still drinking in all of my dreams too, which I hated. I almost feel like this took me to such a dark place that it, like, my vibration was just so low that my dreams were like memories of me when I was still drinking, some good, some bad. A lot of Chris Miles up in my dreams. Like, I very much felt like that Tana, that who I was at that time of my life, I guess, across this. And that's no shade to him at all. I'm just saying I was popping pills at that time, like no other. One of my dreams was this memory of Makoa and I, where we were at the Shangri-La Paris. And I will never forget this day in my life. It was so insane. It's my favorite hotel in the world. It's directly under the Eiffel Tower. It's so beautiful. But unfortunately, I was still Tina at the time. So just like a lot of things, the most beautiful times of my life were ruined by me being Tina. So I was dead convinced that at the nicest hotel in Paris, we had bed bugs. I'm taking my large barrel curling iron to the bed, drunk as hell, being like, they love to come to the heat. The bed bugs are going to come to the heat. This is a real memory, by the way. I just happened to dream it. After we do that, I decide that instead of actually eradicating these bed bugs that I believed were there, that we would go to the sex store. I was like, let's go to the sex shop. Like, that's what we need to do after bed bug gate. I was like, let's show these bed bugs that we bite back. We buy all these like chains and whips. And Makoa and I are like chain and whipping it up. And then afterwards, we order an Apple TV. They bring it down to the room. We watch all 3 Rush Hour movies. I'd never seen them. I take a Xanax on top of the Vuv that I'm drinking. And this was when like times were just different. You know, I'm always talking about all of the bad memories with alcohol, but like this was a great one. I was floating. I order a Subway $5 foot long to my bed in Paris, which is astronomical. Like maybe have some escargot. And the Shangri-La would bring your food into your bed. So the worker brings my Subway footlong into my bed and I eat it off of my chest with the bed bugs. I'm vibing. They don't have bed bugs, obviously. I made them up. The chains and whips are everywhere. I ended up reliving that memory in my dreams. I was having more fun in my dreams than I was awake because I was just reliving some of the fun Tina had while she was drunk, I guess. I wanted to be anywhere other than my own reality. Day 5 comes along. There were 2 dentists across this process that removed my wisdom teeth. And one thing that I hate so much, by the way, is whenever I'm going through something, I almost talked about this with my IV nurse who blew up my arm before Coachella. And she was like, I don't know, I've never seen this before. You never want to hear, I don't know, I've never seen this before from your medical professionals. And so dentist one and dentist two are kind of saying like, I don't know why you're having throat pain. Why don't you know why? I can't swallow. I'm abusing chloroseptic. What? Did you drop something in my gullet while you were removing my tooth? Like, why am I in throat pain? And I was also in so much jaw pain. So much jaw pain on both sides because I have TMJ, which I don't know what that stands for. I always say Tana Mojo jaw. I think it's something mandible. And maybe I have TMJ from swinging it all these years. Who knows? The way I like relieve my TMJ in life is kind of by opening my mouth to the fullest to crack it back into place. And so obviously I can't do that. My my TMJ is now giving me extreme migraines, and I'm literally sitting in the bed with an ice pack on my head, an ice pack on my chest, an ice pack on my cheek, an ice pack on my neck, and I'm just laying there like utterly miserable, like a migraine on top of all of this. I'm like on the verge of throwing up at all times from the painkillers and from the pain. It's the most miserable I've ever been. And so dentist one and two were like, this can't be normal. We're gonna refer you to dentist three. So I crawl to the car to go see dentist three. That's another thing. The side effect of the Norcos and all of the pain, I couldn't walk. And so Makoa was having to walk me to the bathroom and back, walk me anywhere I needed to go, which feeling elderly like that at 27, like elderly, genuinely elderly, is so emotionally defeating. Like I literally needed tennis balls on a walker. So he's like dragging me to the car and we drive to Brentwood to see dentist number three. I'm in the office. You already know the overhead light is on. I'm dying. I'm filling out the Harry Potter series worth of paperwork. I'm like, can you just see me? Three pages asking about if I've ever had an eating disorder. And I'm like, I don't really know. I've kind of struggled with it on and off my whole life. Like, I'm not really sure what to classify what I have. Like, maybe body dysmorphia or something. But like, I don't know. Like, can you just see my jaw? Like, I don't know. They finally take me back to see this dentist. And I don't ever want to diagnose someone. It's not even about him being on the spectrum. He was the spectrum. Like, it was fierce. There's something I hate so much, and I see this a lot. I've seen this a lot in my life, and I'm sure a lot of you have seen this as a woman. But when you go into a dentist or a doctor, and they're a man, and you're a woman, and you say you're in pain, some dentists and doctors who are men will meet you with such a condescending nature. And I'm sitting there and I'm not crying. I'm very much like this. I'm very much like, can you please help me, sir? Like, I've never been in pain like this in my entire life. Like, this was my demeanor, like very quiet, very reserved, and just very straightforward and honest and to the point. And this man decides that him and I are going to play a game of 704 questions, which is perfect because I can talk. Perfect, because I can move my jaw and talk. At first, I'm kind of like, okay, like, I get it. You want to know what happened with my wisdom tooth surgery. You need to know about how it was impacted. You want to know about my jaw. You want to know these things. And then it just starts getting, like, super condescending. You know what I mean? He's like, list all of your ailments, right? And I'm like, I have scoliosis. And he's looking at me and he's like, how do you know you have scoliosis? Because my spine looks like the letter C, sir. How do you know you have scoliosis? Because I've been going to a chiropractor for years, and why are you talking to me like that? I have TMJ. He's like, how do you know you have TMJ? And I'm like, because my jaw cracks. Why am I? And like, because I've been diagnosed with it. And how do you treat that? Oh, with Botox. He looks at me, he goes, you are a Botox girl, aren't you? Amidst the lip flip too, you can go fuck yourself, sir. You can go yourself. Again, if I wasn't in so much pain, it wouldn't have been so infuriating. Then he starts asking me, like, how much filler have you had in your lifetime? I'm like, okay, I'm not really sure what this has to do with my wisdom tooth pain, but like, okay, let me walk you through it, right? I'm like, have you had any filler? And when is the last time that you got it? And I was like, oh, I got lip filler. And Meg is in the room and she goes, I think you got it right before Coachella. And then he looks at me and he's like, what's Coachella? Do you know that you can actually go to Golden Voice's website to find the out what Coachella is, sir? And I'm telling you that I'm in level 10 pain. What's Coachella? And I go, a music festival. And he's like, why did you feel like you needed to get filler before you went to a music festival? I'm in level 10 pain. Why are you asking me why I felt like I needed to get filler before I went to a music festival? Can you help me? Can you help me, please? And my eyes just twitching and I'm just looking at him so deadpan. I'm like, I wanted my lips juiced. It's a part of my job, sir. Can we please move on to the part where you help me? He makes me get an x-ray and I'm standing at the x-ray and I'm like about to pass out. I'm like falling over from the pain, literally about, it's a standing x-ray and I'm about to fall over. And Makoa asked me, he was like, do you need to use the restroom after this? And the dentist comes over to me and he taps me and he makes me remove my mouth. By the way, in this moment, while I'm about to get this x-ray, I'm deep throating like a big piece of plastic, which hurts excruciatingly, so that the x-ray machine can go around my head. He taps my shoulder and I remove myself from glucking this machine. And I turn to him and he goes, are you tired? And I go, yes, sir. I'm so tired. Like, I really I'm in so much pain. I can't really sleep. The Norco. And he goes, well, that's why you need to use the restroom. Find the nearest ceiling fan and the nearest rope and the nearest stool. You know what to do. And I'm sorry if you don't like my verbiage like that, but what kind of, and he's like laughing to himself. I'm like, what kind of sick and twisted motherfucker do you have to be to make me drive to Brentwood to tell you I'm in level 10 pain to like talk to me like this? It makes me want to cry even thinking about it, like, because it's such a deeper problem of like doctors not taking you seriously and like men not taking you seriously and dentists not taking you seriously. And now I'm on my third dentist and no one is helping me. No one is taking me seriously. Like the restroom joke, and then I have to like redo the x-ray when I'm in excruciating pain. You're a sadist. You're a masochist. Who does that? And so then I walk into the room and he looks at me and he goes, I'm going to prescribe you gabapentin. Maybe it'll work. Buster takes gabapentin. Buster takes gabapentin. What do you not know about level 10? 10! 10! There's nothing higher than 10! Gabapentin! Okay, I'm sorry. The fury. And mind you, I'm also already prescribed gabapentin because I'm an anxious bitch. There was a point in the thing, too, where I told him I have anxiety. And he looked at me and he goes, I asked you to list all of your medical ailments. You know anxiety is a medical ailment. Go fuck yourself, sir. And like, you've made this so much worse just to prescribe me fucking gabapentin, which I don't even really like. And he's like, well, you could be having nerve pain. I don't know. And I turn to him and I go, so do you have a diagnosis for me? And he looks at me and he goes, yeah, you're just having a weird healing.
As you guys know, I don't even own a cat, okay? But everyone in my life does, and somehow I know way too much about cat nutrition now. I swear every time I open TikTok or talk to one of my friends with pets, I end up down the most random rabbit hole. And recently, I learned what's actually in a lot of cat food, and honestly, it kinda shocked me. A lot of grocery store cat food is packed with fillers and ingredients that don't really do cats any favors, which is wild, because if you love your pet, you obviously want them eating something that's actually good for them, which is why I wanted to tell you guys about Smalls. Okay, they make fresh human grade cat food with real ingredients you'd actually recognize, but it's formulated specifically for cats. It's high in protein, gently cooked, made without preservatives, and delivered right to your door. Ugh. One of my close friends actually switched their cat over to Smalls, and immediately they were noticing more energy, a shinier coat, and even less smell coming from the litter box, which feels like such a benefit everyone in the house can appreciate. And just crazy, like that's what your cat deserves. 88% of cat parents reported overall health improvements after switching to Smalls. And if you're worried your cat is going to be picky, because let's be honest, they usually can be, you can try it risk-free. If your cat won't eat it, they'll refund you. Stop serving your little carnivore a bowl of processed shortcuts. For a limited time, because you are a brand safe listener, you get 60% off your first order, plus free shipping and free treats for life when you head to smalls.com/brandsafe. One last time, that's 60% off your first order, plus free shipping and free treats for life when you head to smalls.com/brandsafe. Even your cat deserves to be a brand safe baddie. Meow.
Why did you go to school? Why did you? Well, I dropped out. Why did you go to school? Strange. I think he said strange. Like I'm Millie Bobby Brown. Like I'm 11. Like I'm just a little stranger thing. I can't even believe it. I'm like, okay, I just want to tell you again one more time, sir. Like if I can just tell you one more time, Seinfeld, that I'm in level 10 pain, if there's anything you can do for me. And he just looks at me and he's like, no, I prescribed you gabapentin. I look at him and I go, before I go, I just want to ask you, I'm a smoker, and I just want to ask you, do you think it's 2 weeks before I can smoke? Like how long do you think it is before I can smoke? Like you're a dentist, I'm in your office, I want to know. And he looks at me and he just gets super close and like this, and he goes, never. No, but I'm going to. And he's like, never. And then now he's cutting me off. And I'm like, okay, well, what would you say to somebody who came in and said, like, I smoke, like, when can I smoke next? And you would go, I would say never. I would say stop. I would say never. And I go, well, what if I said I'm going to do it anyway? He said, maybe you can get a patch. I said, I have 3 on my arm right now, sir. When can I smoke? And he's just going, never. And he's laughing in my face. And I'm like, I understand that, like, smoking is a bad thing. But, like, I came here for an appointment. I'm asking you when I can smoke. And you're just, like, laughing and smiling in my, never, never, never. I literally walk out of the office. I look at the front desk girl and I go, you are so strong. And she just laughs and agrees. She's like, yeah, I know. And then I get home and the dentist sends over a write-up of our appointment. I can't even talk about it actually without getting so mad, like genuinely, all jokes aside. On the write-up of our appointment, he wrote mild to moderate pain caused by smoking. I'm in the trees, I'm in the breeze, my footsteps on the ground, mild. And that's just like so rude because like had I not asked you the smoking question, you wouldn't have written that. And like also I haven't picked up a vape at all, sir. That's, it's one thing. There's nothing like getting you to quit or dial back on vaping than like fear. I was in so much fear of the idea of having a dry socket because I was already in the absolute maximum pain capacity. This really made me realize like why people who are diagnosed or suffer with chronic pain end their own lives. I'm so serious. I'm so deeply serious. Like the pain that I have had and I'm still feeling, I would never smoke until I was cleared to smoke because I knew that like I couldn't handle anything more than that. So like you think because I smoke in life, I want to say 50% of people smoke in life and get their wisdom teeth removed and this doesn't happen to them. And mild to moderate to me was such a you. I was just like, I sat there and I told him I was in level 10 pain so many times and like to write that down and like put that in writing when like that's not what I said. And it's funny because Meg, she felt that the vibe was off and the way he was treating me. He also kept making jokes about like Duran performing at Coachella and like all these weird things. She recorded the entire appointment like tarmac to tarmac. And like that just goes to show like women, like she almost knew like I know how this is gonna go, so she protected me by voice recording the entire appointment so that we had it all in case something happened. And then to get home and I just sobbed to Makoa. I was like, I just want someone to take me seriously. Like I'm in level 10 pain and no one is taking me seriously. Like this is awful. I was gonna say some crazy shit about that man, but like genuinely, like how do you have a license and how do you do that? There is a feeling of like knowing like had a man came in there and sat down and said I'm in level 10 pain, he would have taken him seriously. It's moments like that where you hate being a woman, like truly, truly deep. Also, it was $400. Like that, I'm done after this. But it's like, oh my God, $400 to be like actually shat on and then prescribed gabapentin, which I have, and then like written up like not the truth. Like it just, I want my money back. And so then I spend the next like few days just sobbing and sobbing. I've never cried so much, truly ever in my entire life, like in so much excruciating pain. Why is this happening? And then I'm on this side of TikTok and I'm seeing all these people be like, it was the worst month of my life. And I'm just so mad at everyone telling me like, you'll be fine by your birthday. It's like, I'm the type of person who really does prefer information. I would have appreciated someone saying to me, you know, maybe you will be fine by your birthday, but also you could be in a lot of pain and this could be a month-long healing. Wisdom tooth talk saved my life, by the way. Like if I wasn't seeing other people say like, I had a month-long recovery, I was in excruciating pain, childbirth was easier, I questioned my entire life, it's the most miserable I've ever been, I wouldn't have even known that that was a thing. And then day six comes along and I develop something called trismus. Merry Trishmas. I develop trismus. And for those who don't know about trismus, let me just, I know everything about it, so I'm going to educate all of you on what it is. Okay, yeah. Trismus is when your jaw locks, long story short. And it happens more commonly to people with TMJ, which again, I would have loved for someone to tell me there's a chance that this might happen to you, where after having it propped open for so long and then the inability to open it for days and days and days, you're basically your mandible and your jaw, like those are two different bones. You have your mandible here. That's the one that I filled to the gods by accident for a very long time. And then you have your jawbone. Your jaw can basically dislocate off of your mandible and it's not opening and closing the same way. For the next couple days, I could not open my mouth the width of one finger. I could not open my mouth the width of a toothbrush. I could not open my mouth at all. I was walking around literally talking like this. And obviously for someone with anxiety and OCD, that's where like became so unfunny to me. And it was never funny, actually. I was miserable the entire time. But this was a new level of fear where I'm like, my job is talking. And even now, it's not fully opened yet and I'm struggling. And like, I'm in pain and I'm struggling. And this is nice because it's my own podcast and I can stop it whenever I want. And Kyle's great and we could shoot it again if we had to and all those things. I'm laying in bed and my jaw won't open the width of my acrylic nail. And I'm laying there and I'm like, what if I'm like this for months? And then I'm getting online and I'm seeing other stories of wisdom teeth trismus. And people are like, yeah, after 3 months, my jaw just unlocked itself. And I'm like, how am I going to pay the bills? And then it's the same thing as like a football player having a torn ACL, like Tana Mojo having no jaw to talk. Like I'm out. I'm on injury leave. Like I'm done. Like let's say I was having something really bad happen to my knee. It's not the same fear as my mouth, let alone being me and being a chronic yapper, like taking away the one thing that like is me and is my thing was so scary, the mental. And then obviously my OCD, I'm like, what if I'm like this for 3 months? Like, I have so many plans and so many things to do. And like, no one told me this could be a possibility. I'm just crying and so scared and panic crying too. It's not even just like tears. It's like for days because I can't open my mouth and I'm so scared. And the only medical professionals I've seen have made me feel so invalidated in any of this. And then you start to lose hope. I'm like, what if I go see someone else? And they just tell me like, I don't know why this is happening. And like the same thing, I can't go see Seinfeld again. I have to find a new doctor. I'm freaking the fuck out. And so obviously as my jaw continued to not open and all three of the other dentists told me that this was not normal and a very rare case of trismus. And that was the other thing too. Everyone was like, just do some exercises. And I was like, well, when's it gonna open? Like I'm exercising it. I'm shoving my little finger around. But like when I decide to call my chiropractor, Dr. Amin Javid. He is like family to me and I want to have him on this podcast at a certain point. Now I'm having a problem with my jaw, which obviously he knows a lot about. He's helped me with my TMJ. And he is a man in the medical field that reassures me that there are great ones. He has always treated me with nothing but seriousness. He takes what I say and believes me and he's helped me and he walks me through things that give me anxiety and he gives me all the information I can ever need. And he's an amazing man. And I almost needed his like reassurance in this moment. I just needed to talk to someone with a degree who wasn't going to treat me the way that Seinfeld just had. And he referred me to the Los Angeles Center for Oral and Maxillofacial Surgery. And I just want to come online right now and say that I love the Los Angeles Center for Oral and Maxillofacial Surgery. I highly recommend it to everyone. Everyone there is such a girly pop. I walked in and I literally started crying because everyone was just being so nice and validating what I was feeling. I found out that they remove wisdom teeth and I'm like, damn, I almost wish I like went somewhere. They were so educational. This doctor comes in. He was like God. He was like God. He came in and he sat down at my knees. They gave me a CT scan. It was so nice. I was talking to the girl about the last time I got an MRI. I was like DJ Khaled-ing out. We both hated DJ Khaled. She was so nice. The doctor comes in, God himself. He is this kind, tall, like beautiful, no, just amazing man. And he like sits down on my level and he's like, what's going on? Like, talk to me. And I told him everything. And he told me like, all of these things do happen to people sometimes. And like, you should have been told that. And like, I'm so sorry. I'm looking at your CT and like, you are just healing slowly and you are experiencing trismus and you are right. That's the other thing too. Everyone else is kind of treating me like, stop looking on TikTok and you're just Googling a bunch of stuff. You don't actually know what's happening. And it's like, okay, but no one else does either. Like, I'm trying to help myself. He was the first person to like validate me and like not treat me like a crazy lady. It was just like, obviously I was a crazy lady to like Makoa and Ray and Meg on that first day for my Norco. But when I'm coming into the doctors, I'm being this Tana and just saying, help me. I'm in excruciating pain. So I was so thankful for the Los Angeles Center for Oral and Maxillofacial Surgery. He prescribed me a steroid, did tell me that it's one of those things where either it will just unlock on its own or you'll have to come back in for like various treatments on your jaw. And I'm going to see him again this week. And I do, that's all I've got. And it stops. It's crazy lockjaw because it's not like it just hurts. It does really, really, really hurt. But it feels like metal plates there. It's like God is stopping you from talking. It's so, you can't unlock it all the way. Then I get to a point where the pain starts to rest at like an 8 out of 10. And I'm at least starting to like be in less pain, remember my old self, like remember that I did used to see life in color again. I will say that all of the things suck. Like I miss soda, nicotine patches, like they work, but like damn, especially across that emotional warfare, like a peach ice hit would have done anything for me. I will say that I'm grateful that this taught me that I cannot vape for 7 days or for an hour. I think it's sad how much I was walking around with it glued. It did show me, you know, that your lungs feel better when you are not smoking as much as I was. It was definitely a wake-up call. And it also taught me a lot about quality time with Makoa and quality time in general and just how grateful I am for all of the little things. You don't realize how grateful you are for talking and walking and eating and swallowing and breathing. I couldn't even like breathe normally because of my throat and my jaw. Like I couldn't get the air in or out. Like you don't realize how grateful you truly are for those things until you cannot feel them for days and days and days and days on end. And I think it made me realize that I do just work so much that I don't just lay in bed with Makoa sometimes and like talk about life. Like I almost feel like him and I bonded across this in a way that we haven't in a long time. You know, when you're in that thing too, like all the things that you think are important to you, the shopping and the, I love shopping, but I don't know, work and like distraction and like go, go, go. Like, no, like my friends and who are my family and like my health, those things are so important to me. And Makoa is so important to me. Like the way he took care of me and is still taking care of me. Like just because I'm sitting here podcasting, I'm still in so much pain and flushing my gums and taking so many medicines. I have to cut up food into little bites and he does it all. Like he waited on me in a way that made me feel like a princess. And I was apologizing every 2 minutes and he just never stopped having a smile on his face. He was waking up out of his sleep every hour to check if I was still breathing just because of all of the medicine that I was on. Every medicine I needed to take, he was getting up and administering it and like writing it down when I took it last and like preparing me any meal and little thing that I asked for and like water and just making sure that I like, you know, was drinking water and like getting protein in with my Ensures and walking me to and from the bathroom every second, making sure everything I wanted to watch was on the screen and like texting people for me if I wanted to say something. I was using a text-to-speech app for a couple days and just like him dealing with that. Like he was just so, this really is a moment where I just thank Makoa for who he is because he took care of me with like it was easy. And I know it wasn't easy like at all. And yeah, I'm very grateful for him. However, I will say that I've never missed a straw more than anything in the world. Sipping out of a cup is barbaric. I feel like genuinely they invented the hieroglyphs and then sipping out of a cup. I am a straw girl like nobody else. I have 1,000 in my car. I put 1,000 in every single one of my purses. Like the only thing I would ever do in my lifetime without a straw is a shot. And if there was a way to do it with the straw, I would have, okay? I am such a straw person. And having like a fucked up jaw and mouth and sipping has been so miserable. I was going through like 5 shirts a day, just spilling everything all over myself like a fuck. Baby. I felt like Stephen Hawking. Genuinely, I have the text to speech and I can't open my mouth and I'm like just laying there like with ice everywhere and I can't move and I'm spilling foods coming out of my mouth. Like I'm not exaggerating. The only difference is I'm not cheating on an island. And isn't that just so crazy? Like even Stephen Hawking cheated. Whatever. My dysmorphia, also just seeing yourself like that. Like I would have moments where I would just walk into the bathroom and look in the mirror and like touch and be like, this is me. Like, is this me? Like I felt like the act. I felt like Joey King. It's so disheartening. And I think that that is what bled into my birthday a lot too. Like I just don't feel like myself. And I really don't like taking painkillers too. Like I feel so dumb. I miss my quickness and my wittiness. And I'm making jokes about it. And I'm like, oh, it's the painkillers. But like, it's not funny to me. I like to be present. And I worked so hard to be present. It just really sucks to like feel like this, I guess. Towards the end of it all, like the day before my birthday, I decide that I still want to come to this house and hang out with my friends because point blank period, I was like genuinely like having really bad thoughts and just like feeling like this would never end. And so we come to this house. I wake up the morning of us going there and I look in the mirror and I'm covered in a rash. God had to have cackled at that one. Like after everything I've been through, like to just cover my body in this red, inflamed, it's still here a little bit, but I covered it up like dotted, like they're all like pus, like they come to a head. Like I look like a demogorgon, like just what else can go wrong? I'm covered in this rash. And then again, the medical OCD, it's just never ending. What is this from? Is it from the clindamycin? Is it a stress rash? I've never been so stressed or cried so much. Like it could be anything. It's folliculitis. And I'm like, now I have trismus and folliculitis and God knows what else is coming next. And I just look like shit. I feel like shit. I'm pale. I'm from sitting inside. My face is so swollen. Like my eyes are bloodshot from crying. Like just I can't open my mouth. Like I can't shit. Like obviously painkillers do that. But like I spent 3.5 hours of my birthday just pushing the Miralax, the Colace. Like at this point, I'm literally taking Miralax, Colace, ibuprofen, Norco, clindamycin, prednisone, naproxen. I can't even, Zofran, Xanax if I'm having an absolute and utter panic attack, gabapentin. I feel like Faye and Rue shoving those balls up their ass to cross the border. Like my bloodstream and my nightstand truly is giving periodic table and I'm so tired of it. And yeah, I just can't it's awful, whatever. I get to this house and I will say that Makoa and I had sex for the first time in 8 days. And as he's fucking me, my jaw cracked a little bit into place. It opens a little more now, like we've gotten to here. And I will say the cure was just always dick, okay? And that's another thing too. When you go days and days without dick, it's just like the light does dim. But obviously he wasn't gonna like fuck my like gypsy rose body, you know? Like I understand that too. I'm bushed up. Not that he wouldn't. I didn't, there was no part of me that felt like, yes, daddy. You know, I felt like, help me God. But if I could go back in time, I would say like maybe get dick 2 days earlier. Like it does help the mental health. And this birthday was weird, and I did cry, and I did sit in pain a lot, and I did reflect and all those things. But at the same time, I will say the outside world is so glorious. When you are sitting in a blackout room for days, like genuinely questioning if you're ever going to feel normal again or sane again or in pain, or if anyone's like out of pain, if anyone's ever going to believe you again, like it has been so nice to just like feel a breeze on my face and like kind of chew a meal, hang out with my friends, even if it's for an hour and I have to go back to like rotting in the bed and kind of dying, and like seeing all the people I love. And I can't believe that people take out 4 wisdom teeth. I can't believe our nation's heroes take out 4 teeth at once. I'd be gone. Like it would be in memoriam. Like, and I promise you also, I will never do it again. And I know that's not good advice to the youth, but I'm going to walk you through why I will never do it again. Okay. And you know, it's funny because I bitch so much about my parents and how they mistreated me. I'm missing 2 teeth from them never taking me to the dentist. But my 2 missing teeth have come in handy for the first time, because if this one grows in, there will be room for it. And if this one grows in, there will be room for it. And up here, I have this one little upper decker moment where this wisdom tooth could come in and it could be just like this one. But I will do everything in my power to not remove it. I know that it is not. I see why people get all 4 out, because it's one of those things that you never want to go through again. I will do everything in my power to keep it. I will see a million dentists and a million doctors to find a solution of teeth shifting or using Invisalign so it grows in straight, or, you know what I mean, irrigating it constantly so it doesn't get infected. I don't care. I will keep it no matter what. It's actually funny because I found out a couple days ago that I asked while I was on the laughing gas. I'm fucked up. I looked at the girl who was my best friend, the girl who was cleaning out my mouth, and I said, can I keep my tooth? So now I just have my wisdom tooth, like, and it's huge, by the way, like no wonder I'm in so much pain, sitting in my cabinet. Like, that's why I don't drink anymore. Like, why'd you ask to keep the tooth? But honestly, after everything I've been through, like, I'm putting it in a frame. I've never experienced anything like this, and I just want to be the PSA to people out there that if you're older, if it's impacted, don't just let people tell you that it could be 3 days of hell. It may affect you for like months. Like I can't talk and I can't open my jaw, and you know, it's day 9 and I'm in a 7 out of 10 of pain, and I'm trying not to take the Norcos because I don't want to get addicted. I don't want to keep living life on them, but then I'm just living life in a lot of pain, and it sucks. It sucks. Horse cock. It has been, I will say, a radicalizing experience, and I'm trying to be the Tana that looks at the silver lining where, you know, I learned a lot about the importance of quality time and the things that I'm grateful for, and maybe my desire to dial back on smoking a little bit, and your health. You know, maybe had I gotten it out sooner, it would have been better. I don't know, though. I don't know. I think I'm just lying on that one. I don't know. I'm trying to look at the silver lining, but like also just, and do your research too. I think a lot of times doctors and people will fail you. Like, I almost wish that I saw more people who informed me more, even on the like aftercare process. Like, we just kind of didn't know all these things could happen and how to take care of them and the jaw. And like, but then again, had I researched a bunch of stuff and come in with it, like people would just tell me, oh, you're having anxiety. And like, there just is no winning sometimes. I don't know. Even today, now I'm on Wisdom Tooth Talk, obviously. I saw a girl who said, I ate rice 3 months after my wisdom tooth surgery. It got trapped in there and I had to reopen it and re-extract the rice and go through the healing process all over again. And that's where it's just like the OCD. I'm living in fear of this. I don't know for how long. For God knows how long will I be living in fear of like this little corner of my mouth. On the bright side, I will say that this has taught me that I, Tana Mojo, can overcome significantly more than I thought I was capable of. I'm getting a boob job tomorrow. I'm getting pregnant tomorrow. And then I'm taking up boxing. And I'm going to be boxing with a boob job pregnant because I can do it. There is nothing more painful than what I have just gone through. You cannot convince me otherwise that there is anything more painful I will ever experience in my life, unless it's like some Grey's Anatomy, like burn victim shit, like dead ass. Like, I'm getting 500 cc's in here. I'm getting knocked up and I'm going straight into the ring because I'll be fine. Nothing. It really made me realize I can do a lot more. I feel like I am always afraid of pain. It definitely changed my relationship with pain. It also was a big wake-up call, I think, for my OCD. I understand that all OCD has triggers, and I think that medical stuff is my biggest trigger. So I understand that that's the thing, but I think I am going to go on kind of a deep dive journey of just understanding my OCD to the fullest extent. fullest extent. F and S are hard too. Just because who I've been this past week, just riddled, debilitated by my OCD and anxiety, and it almost putting me into this like depression. I just don't want to be that girl. And this is very scary. Like, just when will it end? When will I be normal again? When will I not be taking all this medicine? And like, it really does suck. And going through your birthday across that is definitely a big rain cloud, but there were silver linings, and I'm very, very grateful for the people in my life. But like, do not ever get your wisdom teeth out without hearing from me that it could end up being an experience that changes your life forever. Like, not everyone has the peachy keen experience. And again, it does all go back to the best worst luck thing. You know, I do understand only 10% of people get trismus. Like, that I'm going to have this beautiful, 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 beautiful life that I love so much. But like, this will happen to me and only me. A very, very weird week in my life and a very strange birthday. It's not that I'm not grateful for everything that I have. There is the part of my brain without anxiety that believes I will be fine again, but I'm just like waiting for that day, because talking is my favorite thing in the world. And it's what brought me this entire life, and it's my job, and I'm losing it. But I love you guys so much. Thank you so much to everyone for all of the so incredibly kind, in-depth paragraphs wishing me happy birthday. I was laying in bed feeling like all the things I talked about across this podcast, and I read so many of your comments and DMs and messages, and you are truly the rainbow attached to this rain cloud right now. You know, I love you so, so, so much. And thank you for stopping me when I'm being too self-deprecating and reminding me that I will get through things and reminding me how strong I am and that I've gotten here. Your birthday messages were all seen. Like, don't think that any of them went unseen. I love you so, 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 so much. Thank you for providing me with a beautiful life, with beautiful friends, with a beautiful boyfriend, with a beautiful everything that I'm so grateful for. This experience really made me remember just all of the little things that I'm so grateful for. And I'm gonna go to dinner right now, and I'm gonna have Makoa baby bird me a fucking sushi roll. Honestly though, I feel like I shouldn't have rice after we just heard that. Some sashimi, maybe. Happy birthday to me. And we are healing, and we are so fancy. Bye. I love you.
L-E-T-E-N-E-T. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.